morning, as we seek to discover what it means to live in the loyal love of the Lord, what it means to live out of God's love, His Word also gives a very clear understanding to how you and I can build deep and meaningful relationships in our lives that I believe are told through the story of Jonathan and David. We're going to begin by reading 1 Samuel 18, the first four verses. Hear the word of the Lord. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and his sword, his bow, and his belt. And I want us to cross-reference that with 1 Samuel 20, verse 14, which says, "Show me the loyal love of the Lord." How many of you have ever owned a dog or own a dog? I don't own a dog, but my in-laws do, and his name is Baggins. Now, if you treat your dog well, I am told that they are the best pet in the world. There is no doubt that my in-laws love their dog. And the dog very evidently loves them. The dog will come and sit whatever room they are in. When our children and our nieces and nephews go there, that dog is right beside them wherever they go. If they go too close to the pool, he's blocking it. If they live in the country, if they move beyond the fence, he is there. When other dogs are walking down the street, he is there making sure that other dogs aren't coming, and he will even bark if he thinks something is going to happen. He will put himself in the way of my children and my nieces and nephews if danger begins to come. I use the illustration of a dog because I believe a dog is a beautiful example of the friendships we want to have, but the dog also gives a beautiful example of how we can be that type of friend to those we are with. So I want you to ask yourself two questions this morning that will guide our whole conversation this morning. What is the loyal love of the Lord, and how does the loyal love of the Lord play out in my life? So here's the two questions. What is the loyal love of the Lord, and how does the loyal love of the Lord play out in my life? Well, when you begin to read the text, and it's talking about the loyal love of the Lord, they're actually using a Hebrew word called chesed. Here, chesed, the loving kindness, is seen in friends who put themselves out there for their friends. Now, let me give you the context between 1 Samuel 18 and chapter 20. Saul had been a horrible, horrible king. Saul now gets word that he is no longer going to become king. Jonathan, his son, is not going to become king. David has been invited into the kingdom. David was winning more battles than Saul. He was becoming more popular than Saul. In fact, he was enraging Saul a little bit. But his son Jonathan and David have become such good friends. And Saul has this conversation with his son, and he says, "You don't need to worry, son. I'll take care of that prophet Samuel. You will become king. We're strong enough. We're powerful enough. Our family will be on the throne for quite a while." Now remember, Jonathan and David have become good friends. And so Jonathan puts himself out there and he says, "David, we got to chat. My dad says that Samuel the prophet says I won't be king. What do you think?" Can you picture what that's like for Jonathan to have to lay it all on the line for his friend? And then you got a picture. Talk about laying it on the line. David goes, "Jonathan, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're right. Samuel has actually been to my house, and I'm going to become the next king of Israel. What are you going to do if you are Jonathan? I think it's a fair question, isn't it? Because a true friend will put themselves out there for their friend. What do you do when your best friend gets the promotion at work that you've always wanted? What are you going to do when the guy next to you gets the girl that you've always wanted? What do you do when a tension comes up in your relationship? I think it begs the question, how do we put ourselves out there for our friends? Now, there is, it just came to me this morning as I was preparing, a story in my life of someone who put themselves out there. And I think it begins to illustrate what I'm trying to get at. His name is Ron. Ron and I were doing ministry together when I was a youth pastor in Hamilton. And Ron took a call and he moved about 8 hours away. And we sent Ron an invitation to Carmen and our wedding. He responded that he wasn't able to come. But Ron showed up at our wedding. He didn't need to come to the dinner and all the festivities, but he came to our wedding, and I simply asked him, I go, what are you doing here? And here was his phrase, aren't you worth it? And then I went to Iowa a little while later to do some ordination courses. And Ron showed up with his wife, Kathy, and his phrase was there again, aren't you worth it? As you look at your friendships, those who we put ourselves out there for, don't we really say, aren't you worth it? What is this loyal love of the Lord, and how does it play it out in our lives? It plays out in the fact that we put ourselves out there, but the chesed, that loving kindness, also says, all have your back. I think that illustration of the dog is a good one. I think of one that we'll touch on in a second about God's loyal love for us is a beautiful picture. But here you have two friends. Picture all that is going on. Poor Jonathan is in this situation that if he chooses his friend, John David, that his father's going to disinherit him. If he says, Dad, I'll stick with you because I'm going to be king, right? His very best friend is going to die. Now, picture what is about to happen, because this is critical in the text. Jonathan takes his tunic, which is the undergarment between your body and the robe. He takes his robe, he takes his bow, and he takes his sword, and he gives it to David. And he says, David, I pledge you my loyalty. I'll have your back. Don't worry about my dad. You will become king. I will be your servant. I am with you. Don't worry about it. It's much like what you see in the army, isn't it? Where they have a philosophy of no man left behind. It's seen in very practical ways, I believe, today in some of the TV shows that are out there. If you've ever seen Friends, you get the picture. If you've ever seen the show Big Bang Theory, you get the picture. If you've ever seen the show How I Met Your Mother, you will see friends that have each other's back. They are there for each other no matter what happens. So how do you know if you have a friend like Jonathan, like David, that has your back? Well, they are going to speak well of you. They are not afraid to stand for the truth. They are not afraid to defend you. Everything they say and do in your relationship is to have your best interest at heart. Jonathan has come to grips that he's not going to be the next king of Israel. David is. Jonathan was what was brilliant. He was valiant in battle. The commentators say that he had undaunting courage. His life is a picture of self-sacrificing friendships. David was a valiant warrior. He was charismatic. They say he was good looking. He was a man that sought after God's own heart. And here's Jonathan. He tries to bring harmony between dad and himself. Jonathan tries to remain loyal to dad and to David. Jonathan risked his father's favor for the friendship of his friend David. Why? Because friendships that are going to be meaningful and lasting are going to have the back of your friend. So what is it when he says, show me the loyal love of the Lord? It's also using a word, again, called chesed, which means an unbreakable friendship, a self-sacrificing love. But it's also something that will not go away. Here's what he says. Deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant. Jonathan asks in chapter 20, if I am still alive, show me the loyal love of the Lord that I may not die, and do not cut off your loyalty forever. Now Saul has died. Jonathan has died. And David remembers this covenant that he made with Jonathan. And he says, go out and find anyone that is related to the house of Saul, that I might show them loving kindness. And they come across this boy named Mephibosheth. We'll get to him in a second. But David is willing to put himself out there for his friends. Do you know those unbreakable friendships in your own life? Let me tell you a true story. We're going to call their name H and K. That's their initials. They have this deep friendship with another couple. They are a real couple. I know them. And their friendship began about 30-some years ago. And as they began to walk in their friendship, that they had been through deaths of parents together. They had been through marriages and divorces of some of their children. They had walked through the teenage years, which for both families were hard with some of the children. And there wasn't anything that they couldn't share with each other. About 10 years passed. Their friendship is still strong. The one family was struggling financially. And so they put themselves out there and said, you know what? We don't know how to bring this up, but we're hurting. Would you be able to help us out temporarily? And they said, sure. What do you need? So they said, we need about $15,000 to get us through. Not a problem. They wrote the check. Their friends paid them back, of course. And now they're in this other season of their life where they're having grandchildren. And some of them have grandchildren that are having difficulties. And so they're working through that and how they connect and how they relate to each other. And they have each other's back. They're there. There's nothing that has come up in their friendship that has separated them from each other. And they simply said, you know what? No matter what it is, we'll be there for each other. Before Jonathan died, in our text, he says this, may the Lord be with you as he had been with my father. Show me your unfailing kindness, like that of the Lord, that I may not die. And here's what I love. Do not ever cut off your chesed or your love from my family. What Jonathan was saying before he died was, can I count on you? Because you can count on me. And David responds and he says, you can count on me because my word, my vow, we don't use this word anymore today, but they did in the times of the Bible. My covenant with you will be there forever. Do you ever think of those vows, those pledges, those oaths that you make in your own life? As I was reading this week, I came across a statement by a couple of authors of whom I can totally relate. I said, I've made four vows in my life. The first vow is when I made a profession of faith. That's when I came to accept Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and I said I wanted to be a part of his church. My second vow came when I married Carmen. It was more than a piece of paper. It was something that I said that I would be faithful to her and I would give my life for her in an unbreakable covenant and I will sacrifice everything for her. The third was when I got ordained. I made a vow that I would preach the word, and I would seek to work with God's people to help us grow in our faith together. The fourth is seen when we brought our children for baptism, where we said that we would do everything in our power to bring up our kids in the way of the Lord. Now, what does it have to do with what we're talking about? Because those very things set the pattern for our friendship. The vows that we make in life are reflective of how we will live our friendships. Now, if you look at the word chesed, or show me the loyal love of the Lord, what does it do to your life and how does it apply to your life? Well, if you are going to do exactly what we've talked about in those three statements that we've gone through this morning, it is going to leave you vulnerable. Anytime you put yourself out there for another being, you risk being hurt. You risk being rejected. You risk not being accepted. But if we are to live out of 1 Samuel 20, verse 14, show me the loyal love of the Lord, it means that in our relationship with God, our relationship to the church, our relationship with our friends, we're willing to put ourselves out there for the well-being of others. Chesed puts yourself out there. It is unbreakable. It says, I'll have your back and I will trust you. Are we willing to put ourselves out there for our friends? If we are to live this out, you are going to see great blessings. Let me tell you the rest of the story. David wanted to fulfill his promise. And so he sent out some men to go talk to a man named Ziba, who was in the house of King Saul, to find out if there were any relatives that were left. And he says, well, there is. There is Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, named Ishbosheth. Now, he had 2 feet that left him that were bad, that left him crippled. And in the battle that led to the death of Jonathan, he was taken by his nurse to a place that means no pasture, so that he would be protected, that nobody would come after him, that he would be able to live. And there he was raised and he was still living. Now you got to picture what's happening. David sends one of his generals and some of his men to pick up Ishbosheth. He was surely thinking that his life was over. Because when a new king took over, he got rid of anyone that was from that former family. But David, through his men, said, do not worry. Now picture this. Do not let my family be cut off from your house forever. He says, you are going to have all the land that belonged to your father Saul. Not only that, but I'm going to have men who are going to work your land. And to top it off, you're going to be able to sit at the table of the king. And he wonders how he could deserve it. And so David says, I'm going to fulfill the promise I made to your father David, or Jonathan. Picture the blessing of living out of this chesed that we're talking about this morning. Picture the blessing in your relationship of trust, of loyalty, of love, of support, of value, of unconditional acceptance, of hearing from your deepest friends, all have your back. Because that's exactly what the text is getting at. Because when you begin to discover the loyal love of the Lord, is exactly what God does for us. While we are in hiding, while we are far away from the table of the Lord, he comes through his son Jesus, and he intercedes on our behalf. And he comes and he gives his life for us that we might not only come to the table, but that we might enjoy the riches of heaven. The loyal love of the Lord continues when he pours out his spirit on the church. The loyal love of the Lord continues as he sends godly people into our lives to help us discover and grow in the rich loyal love of the Lord. And then he says, the best part's coming. I'm coming again, and I will set a table for you, and you will come and eat, and you will live with me forever. The loyal love of the Lord. So here's the question for us. Through Jonathan and David and through Jesus, we are invited to put ourselves out there, to develop unbreakable friendships, to have friendships that say, I'll have your back. So, two questions as we close. Who will you allow in to your life that you might experience the deep riches of what true, godly, biblical, wholesome friendships really look like? And second, how will you put yourself out there to be that kind of friend to someone in need? Amen. We're going to pray this morning. And as we do, we want to again remember the names in our bulletin. But we also want to remember our upcoming federal election, which isn't that far away. We want to not only pray for our politicians, but we also want to pray for some of the things that we're seeing on the news. I'm sure most of us have seen this story now about the Syrian refugees. Want to remember them, but not only them, but the many refugees from the various parts of the world that are undergoing somewhat of the same thing. So let's pray for them as well. But we also want to remember those who stopped by. Jim alluded to it this morning. We had our first Hamburger Friday, and we had the opportunity of serving about 40 people, which was cool. And just want to pray for those that stopped by, for their journey of faith, for the opportunity we had to engage in their life, and pray that out of that, some seeds of faith might grow. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are good and you are holy. We thank you for the fact that, Lord, you have shown us your love in the most unique and the most powerful way in sending Jesus into the world. And Lord, we pray that we might live out of that love, that we might seek to develop friendships that reveal that kind of love, that our lives would point others to you. Lord, we pray for those who have stopped by this past week, Lord, for just a burgers conversation in foosball. Lord, we just pray that those seeds of the open doors of the church would just sink true and real into their lives, and that, Lord, maybe a seed of faith was planted through that. Lord, we want to pray for our politicians, Lord, as we go towards an election. Lord, we pray that they would be leaders, men, who would seek your face. Lord, we pray that you would elect the person of your choosing to lead our country. And Lord, that whoever that may be, that they would do so with justice, that they would do it with integrity, that they would do it with a discerning heart, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would penetrate the hearts of our leaders. That, Lord, that our nation would be led by the truth of your word and what your word has to say. Lord, we want to bring to you this morning, Lord, that of not only the Syrian refugees, Lord, but the refugees all around the world, Lord, who are seeking to flee, to find freedom. Lord, we pray for that not only to become possible, but for the means for it to be done with diligence, to be done well. That those who are fleeing, Lord, would be able to be acclimatized properly rather than just as flippantly or rushed into something. And Lord, as we think of all that's going on in the world, Lord, we simply pray that you would come soon and that you would restore everything to the way that you once created it, and that we would be able to enjoy the new heaven and the new earth, Lord, and that everything would be perfect. But until that point, oh God, we pray that we would live as your agents of grace. We want to remember Carolyn as she undergoes her next needle, Lord, for her macular degeneration. Lord, we pray that it would be successful. We pray that, Lord, she would be able to be still and patient and calm as that happens, and that, Lord, she would see much success from that. Would you be with our students who go back to school, whether here or will be heading back to university either today or tomorrow? We pray for smooth roads. We pray for easy transitions. We pray, O Lord, for their witness on the campuses that they will be at, to be strong and penetrating, and that, Lord, through them, others may see your loyal love. Lord, we pray for Dan, Lord, who very soon will be coming home. Lord, we pray that his last time, Lord, at the rehabilitation hospital would be good, would be meaningful, would be successful, that he would be encouraged. And Lord, we pray that all the preparations that need to be happen for him to be able to come home would be done. And would be done well, and that his transition, Lord, back home would be smooth and successful. Pray that you would be with him and Trix during this time. And Lord, we ask you now, Lord, to be with those who are away this morning, who are enjoying some last-minute vacation time. We pray that you would restore them, and that, Lord, you would bring them back safely to us this coming week, and that together we can continue, Lord, to walk together in faith, to walk together in love, and to live together. Lord, thanks for this community of faith. And Lord, we thank you for our time this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.